You're listening to the Nonprofit Build Up Podcast, and I'm your host, Nick Campbell. I want to support movements that can interrupt cycles of injustice and inequity and shift power towards vulnerable and marginalized communities. I've spent years working in and with nonprofits and philanthropies, and I know how important infrastructure is to outcomes. On this show, we'll talk about how to build capacity to transform the way you and your organization work. Hi, everyone. This week on the Nonprofit Buildup, we're talking with Jean Lee, the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Minority Corporate Counsel Association, or MCCA, a national organization committed to advancing the hiring, promoting, and retaining of diverse attorneys in law departments and law firms by providing cutting-edge research, best practices, professional development, and training, and through pipeline initiatives. Prior to joining MCCA, Jean served as Vice President and Assistant General Counsel at JPMorgan Chase, where she worked on consumer litigation and regulatory matters. Before joining JPMorgan Chase, she worked on litigation matters at a boutique litigation firm in New York City and started her career as a law clerk to the Honorable John J. Hughes, United States Magistrate Judge, now retired, in the District of New Jersey. Jean and I recorded this conversation in May 2020, as we navigated our way through the first few months of the pandemic. Jean is clear and compelling in how she speaks about MCCA's work and how they're being creative and responsive during the crisis. She also talks about the importance of thinking outside the box, appreciating the diversity of the nonprofit ecosystem, and reflecting on the reason why your organization exists in order to better serve the communities you work with. During this conversation, Jean asked the question, how can we improve our communities to show humanity, to show kindness? Such a powerful question. It forces us to think about how we can continue to support organizations that will allow us not to go back to a time that was unacceptable to those of us who are committed to social justice. This conversation encourages us to use the moment we're in to not only focus on surviving, but to use our leadership to improve our commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion in order to build thriving communities. And with that, here is Jean Lee.
Hi, Jean. I'm so happy to have you joining us for our Fast Grow Leader Series. Get us started. Yeah, hi. I'm really looking forward to the conversation today. To get us started, can you tell us about Minority Corporate Counsel Association, your role, and MCCA's immediate priority?
Nicole, thank you so much for having me today. I am the president and CEO of MCCA. I have been in this role for about 4 years, and MCCA has been around for 23 years now, and it is really the leading organization that provides research, education, professional development training in the legal profession. We have focused on improving diversity, inclusion, and equity of our profession since its founding, and that is the sole mission of the organization.
And when you think about the environment that we're in right now, is MCCA focused on anything new or doing anything differently to respond to the needs that are popping up in this current environment?
Yeah, I think like many organizations, we're thinking of new and creative ways to respond to what's happening. But for us, as an organization that has been solely focused on convening individuals to talk about these issues in corporate America and in the law firms that serve the corporate legal department, our focus has really been about rebuilding our community. What we have noticed in the past several weeks is that there is somewhat of an inconsistency as to the importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know, when people are in times of crisis, your natural instinct is to focus all your energy on survival. Completely understand and absolutely that should be the first and foremost focus, your health and safety of your loved ones, and then obviously work. And then as you think about work, you know, people are struggling with billable hours or dealing with businesses that are closing. Again, while you're doing that, it's important for organizations like MCCA to really think about how do we ensure that the work and the progress we have made, and we have made some progress, probably the most notable in the last few years in improving the diversity of the profession. And there are so many leaders who have shown commitment, have come out publicly stating their commitment. We want to make sure that those commitments and that progress is not lost during this time. And we are really focused on bringing our community back together to rebuild, to continue to work on the mission of the organization, which is to improve diversity and equity and inclusion of the profession. The ways in which we are doing that, we just recently hosted a virtual conference. It was an all-day conference. It was the first of its kind in the legal profession where we did not just cobble together a CLE. What we really thought, thanks to the many guidance and advice from our experts and our leaders, we really thought about what are the ways in which allows us to bring a community together virtually. How do you connect virtually when you're really looking at a person through the screen? And thanks to their expertise and guidance and just suggestions, we were able to successfully pull off a 7-hour all-day conference with networking receptions, breakout sessions, CLEs, as well as professional development programs just last Wednesday. And so we really focused on bringing people's stories together. What are our leaders dealing with? How can you as an associate, a diverse associate, navigate the law firm that is perhaps going through maybe even a boom or a major crisis, which many are dealing with? Or if you're in a corporation, perhaps some parts of your businesses aren't doing well. How do you stand out? How do you still do your day-to-day and manage what's going on at home? Because we are all staying at home, you know, for the most part, at least until last, I think, Monday or so. Most of us were still working from home and will continue to do that for the foreseeable future. And that opportunity gave people an outlet to reconnect, to recharge, and to be re-energized about the work that they have done as well as the work we have done.
I really like that. And a couple of things jumped out at me from what you said, which is that you really don't want to be one of those organizations that is just exclusively focused on surviving. Like, how do we just survive within this current environment? And instead, you're really tackling really difficult issues, like you pointed out, like, how do we still keep our focus on improving diversity, equity, and inclusion within the profession? And, you know, even trying to see how you can bring stories together in order to do that. And you talked about the event. I just think it just speaks to how innovative and creative you're still trying to be during crisis, which is extremely important for organizations and their sustainability. So along those lines, I wonder if you could provide any sort of advice to nonprofits that a lot of them at this point are in fact focused exclusively on their survival, which is understandable. They're fundraising as a significant part of their budget. So what do you think should be top of mind for them right now during this time of uncertainty?
I think that, you know, everyone is going through a state of uncertainty. I think you alluded to that. And it is incredibly challenging. So what I'm about to say, there are just times sometimes where you have to focus on survival. But if you can spare some moment to think outside of that sort of crisis mode, if you can, and it's not easy, in no way am I trying to make light of that, but if you can think creatively, what's the most important thing why your organization existed or why your organization should continue to exist? And I think if you can think for a moment and take a step away from the crisis, if you can, and think about that, you're going to start to see solutions and how to be more nimble. Because I think while you're trying to survive, and I just went through this whole thing as well, right? We have the great fortune of having many committed leaders that are all hands on deck helping us, right? So, and you may have an organization where the leaders themselves are so focused on crisis that they can't lend a hand because you are a, obviously for most nonprofits, a volunteer organization. And it's not the first priority because their day job is. And I would say if you don't have the fortune of that, perhaps take a step back and say to yourself, what was it about this organization that made you committed, that allowed you to join? Because I often think about that. And, you know, when all this happened, I had, I think, 6 full-time employees and 1 full-time contract employee, as well as a couple of part-time employees. So total, maybe about 10. But the 6 were the ones that I saw day in and day out in the office or on a Zoom or a Skype. And within the first week, first of all, we were supposed to have our conference. We had to cancel our conference. That's a major hit to our revenue. Then we had to quickly think about, okay, how is this going to impact our revenue because membership, because we started hearing all this about the industry. And then 3 out of the 6 employees got sick. 2 of them thought that they had COVID, had to get tested. So you can imagine, for any small business owner, I don't need to go into the minutiae and the granular details of what kind of came afterward. It was incredibly hard. That was my first week. In addition to hearing about, okay, what's going on with PPP loans and should we apply and how much can we get and what are the things that are happening? So I had to take a step back and say to myself, okay, I've had crisis before, both professionally and personally, and I have not only survived, but I have thrived. I've learned a lot. Like every job I had, there was some crisis. And certainly this is probably in some ways the biggest because I'm actually responsible for people as the leader of the organization. Whereas in other situations, I had many other leaders to collaborate with. Here, within the walls of MCCA, it's just Jean Lee who's leading the organization. So when I took a step back, the first thing I thought to myself was, why did I join this organization? What made me so passionate that I left my corporate job at JP Morgan in New York City, a city that I love and call home for 27 years? What made me do that? And it was the mission of the organization. And it's the personal stories that I was moved by, why I thought to myself, I want to give voice to those who don't always have a voice. And leading this organization and leveraging the amazing leaders and platform we have, we can make a difference. And that made me think about, okay, so that's what made me join. What should I be doing next? And then it occurred to me about the amazing personal stories that I've heard in this role. You know, you're part therapist, you're part leader, you're part counselor. And I thought about the personal stories of so many who were so thankful that MCCA existed, the programs we provided. And I started connecting with individuals once again and trying to get a better sense of what's happening on the ground. You hear everything in the media, you hear everything in the news, and it gets distorted. What is the individual's personal story? Because even though we have corporate memberships and law firm memberships, entity memberships, the individuals within the organizations are the ones who drive that conversation. So once I started doing that, I started to understand, okay, how can we provide value, which ultimately provide revenue, which ultimately will provide our long-term sustainability? And that's how I started to do it step by step. Now, it may be different for different organizations. As I mentioned earlier, I don't know why I keep thinking of clean water, but if you're delivering a product or a service, think about, and you no longer can because of quarantine or stay-at-home orders or whatever it is that your state has mandated, think of different ways in which you can deliver that service. Because I never started to use Zoom. Sorry, I'm the first to admit that, until this crisis. And it's amazing how you can still connect with people in a way that you've never done before. And I'll quote Michelle Coleman-Mays, and I told her that I would, because I think she said it so well when she said, it's not the new normal. This is the next normal. Because there will be, as what our scientists and doctors and experts are saying, there will be another time where there may be another pandemic, there may be another outbreak that will prevent you from connecting. Does that mean your every organization, company that has done work where it's face-to-face should stop to exist? I don't think so. So I think in order for you to be creative, in order for you to tap into that creativity, you need a moment to yourself to think about what brought you to the organization, what made you passionate about leading the organization or being a staff or a member of that organization. I think that's the most important thing. Sorry, I know that was kind of long-winded.
No, that was perfect, because what it really boils down to and what you're pointing out is that you start with why, right? And that's always the starting point that I think business owners, nonprofits, philanthropies, individuals should have whenever you start something or you're moving along, right? What is your why? How do you make sure that you're keeping that purpose, that reason at the forefront of everything you do? And it's going to inform how you show up. And so once we do exactly what you said, which is let's think back to like, what is our why? Why are we doing this? It helps inform the kinds of stories that we're telling, and it helps improve our storytelling, right, at the end of the day. And so if we flip that for a second, Jean, and say, okay, well, now we discovered our why, we are able to now tell better stories, and we're telling them to funders who are hearing these stories. What's the advice that you would provide to funders, beyond, you know, give more money, which would be great. But what else would you tell them? What advice would you provide to say, this is how you support nonprofit sustainability, both within and beyond the crisis?
I would say, where do you want to see change, but you personally cannot commit to that change in the way you would like because you have another day job? What is important to you? And what services are necessary in our communities to not only, as cliche as it may sound, not only to make the world a better place, but what sort of things do you want to see? What services will provide those gaps? So for example, if you're somebody who's all about social justice, what organizations in your mind are great advocates and equalizers or providers who provide access to social justice to everyone? Is that important? Is that the world you want to see? If your mission, like it is for Bill Gates, is to ensure that the world has access to great healthcare and medical attention and medicine, that's where you should really think about donating your money, right? But there are so many. And if you have the great fortune of being able to fund more than one, what are things that are important to you? And which ones do a great job in delivering those services that you really should continue to support? I mean, I think about the very same thing. And I sometimes, you know, some people, friends have said, you work for a charity. Why do you donate to a charity? Because my charity only does one thing, right? There are so many amazing charities that provide services. I mean, my passion before I went to law school was to work with children and women in the inner cities. I was a social worker for the Legal Aid Society in New York for many years before going on to law school. So charities that really provide the necessary services, whether it's job interviews, clothes, or basic necessities like food and water, those organizations are important to continuing to provide services to those segments of the population that do not have the access and the privilege that I may have. So I think about those kinds of things, and I would say the same thing to the funders. What do you want to see? Do you want to see where we were 5 years ago or 10 years ago? In our case, diversity, inclusion, and equity. Do you want to see the profession more homogenous with straight white men and women leading law firms? You know, women still have a long way to go, but certainly white women are in a much better position than women of color, for example. Is that what you want to see? And if the answer is no, and you don't want to lose progress, I think the answer is think about giving, think about donating, think about organizations that will not allow us to go back to where things were. If in your mind that where we were was not acceptable, and I think you have to be honest with yourself, what's important? And then it goes back to why give? What's important to you? I can't possibly do all the things that I would like for my nieces, for my children, for my parents, whatever it is that you may be thinking about. How can we improve our community to show humanity, to show kindness, especially in times of crisis? I think we say this about people, and especially American people, there is such a great spirit of giving. Well, this is another time for us to show how much we care about each other, no matter what is happening, that we are thinking about one another, because we are, at the core, people who care and people who are good.
I think that's right. And I hope that when others hear that, they also think about the ecosystems in which these different organizations might be operating. So they're not just picking out one organization and saying, yep, that's the one that furthers my mission. But it's really like, how does that organization relate to the others within the ecosystem that the funder wants to support? And so now we have advice for both nonprofits and funders, and you've given really good advice to both. With all that in mind, what do you wish we did less of as a sector? And what do you think we should do more of?
I think we talk a lot, as I talk a lot. I think that whether it's corporate America or nonprofit, there's a lot of talk and less action, or the action is so slow. And that may just go to my own shortcomings as an impatient person, but I think we need to talk less and do more. Or at a minimum, when we talk, our actions should match our rhetoric, our words. there is a reason why the saying, actions speak louder than words, exists. And I think this is the one time where we really need to show that our actions will speak way louder than any words can say, how important it is for us to come together to support one another to ensure that we are all thriving when this is over, because this too will pass at some point and we need to be there for each other. We can't leave some organizations or some people. And then to some extent, I'm not trying to be Pollyanna, but it will happen. But how do we do that? You need to pull the leaders together, the community together to ensure that we are doing more. For example, for our organization, it's about improving diversity, inclusion, and equity. We need our leaders to show up and not just talk about it. We need our leaders to continue to invest in those dollars and not talk about it. We need our law firms that say diversity, inclusion, and equity is important to continue to invest in the resources and not cut diversity as the first thing in their budget. We need to show that it matters by bringing our people together. We need to show that it matters by talking to people, by being human, and not talking about it to someone like you or a podcast or an interview, but really bringing it home and showing that it matters. So if you're a firm that says wellness is important, give your attorneys a break, because there are some that are truly just suffering, and try to connect. If you are saying inclusion is important, connect with one another, connect with your subordinates, connect with your peers. It's much easier to do that and has the benefits that are, I think, exponential than your words. And that may be very hard, but you know what? Times of crisis require you as a leader, as a peer, to work a little bit harder to connect and to ensure survival and well-being of everyone. So I would say do more, talk less, or at a minimum, make sure that what you say are matching what you do.
I really like that. The less talk, more action at the end of the day. And I know that the focus of many nonprofits, as we talked about even the beginning when we started our conversation, they're focused on fundraising and making direct asks and also about work that they're doing, which is extremely important, particularly now. But I wonder how you all are thinking about building infrastructure during this time. And if so, how are you doing it? How are you thinking about what your infrastructure looks like now versus after the pandemic? I just want to hear your thoughts around your infrastructure building.
For us, very small nonprofit, like many out there, and the way we think about infrastructure for us is the programmatic services we are offering and how we offer those services. And one of the ways in which we have switched gears, as I mentioned earlier, is to really do things virtually. So that's the one infrastructure. We had already started before the pandemic to really shift our model, primarily the fundraising and the conferences, to being a service provider, right? From being solely a convener to somewhat of a hybrid. How can we individually provide a product or a service? So creating our consulting and advisory work that we started to really focus on in the last 2 years is, how can we empower, provide the tools to empower those members to do it themselves? So creating templates, having these sorts of one-on-one discussions, that's part of our infrastructure that we started to change. What is the infrastructure of this organization? Okay, we provide research. We share that research during a conference. How do we make money? We have done it usually like 50 to 60% of our revenues used to come from fundraising, from galas and conferences. How do we shift that so that we're doing other things that will proliferate faster? So we looked at impact. How can we have a greater impact? Because gala is one day, you're inspired, now you go and you go back to your normal thing. How can we continue that momentum that they may get at a gala? As a convener, that's our job, to inspire our audience in mass. The other thing is, how can we inspire them enough to act? How can we give them the tools? And that's the service piece, why we created the consulting and advisory work. You know, given the experts, once again, the leaders that we have access to that on our board, the research that this organization has done for 20 plus years, how can we leverage that and work with some other experts in this space to provide the one-on-one service, the template, so they can proliferate, they can continue the great work of the MCCA, because we're so small, we can't do that for the hundreds of organizations that are part of our membership, but we can certainly provide them with the tools to do that on their own. And that's kind of the infrastructure shifting that we had already started 2 years ago, and it is now more critical than ever as we embrace ourselves, not only this year for the pandemic, which could possibly come back in the fall, is what everyone is saying. I mean, that's kind of what we have done and the way we interact with people. You know, I meant to ask you that earlier before our conversation. Is that what you were thinking in terms of infrastructure, like in terms of what we're doing as an organization?
Yeah, definitely. Because what I'm hearing from your response are some really key infrastructure components, right? Like one, how do you create leverage within your own team based on your current environment, right? You're talking about virtual work and adapting to working remotely, which you've already started to do with your team. The second is creating capacity. When you talked about how do you create templates and give access to different items and different resources for your members. And then the third, which I stress so much, is the diversification of revenue, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're doing galas, we're getting lots of money from them. What else can we do to generate revenue? How can we diversify our revenue streams? And it also has the effect of having greater impact the more you diversify, but be able to think about how do you diversify revenue. So I think that was spot on.
Yeah, I mean, we've been working on that and scalability. So to your point, mm-hmm. You know, we are thinking, how can we scale our work? And I think, you know, before the pandemic, we had so much potential. We certainly did pretty well last year, thanks to the hard work of our leaders on our board and our staff. Again, there's such a small group, but they're just so committed. The amount of work we produce in the services we provided, I think, has been noticed. But you're right. I mean, when I looked at the revenue stream when I first came on board 4 years ago, although I knew that having been on the board as a volunteer board member for 3 years, it really struck me when you know, as a board member, you show up 3 hours every 4 months. You kind of have one sort of that small, narrow lens perspective. As staff, you started looking at revenue across all streams and then data, right? And I'm like, okay, what's the cost rate, like benefit analysis? Like everything has that cost ratio, right? You realize like, okay, this long-term is not a sustainable model. And in fact, one of the things I had said was, what if you can't have a gala because there is a tsunami or in the Northeast and in the Mid-Atlantic? You know, I said hurricanes aren't common and tornadoes aren't common, but it has happened. I've lived in the Northeast most of my life, except for a few years in the Midwest. It has happened. And we've had earthquakes. We had power outages. What do you do then? We had 9/11. So when I thought about that, and if a 9/11 were to hit, like, what do we do? I mean, that's kind of the conversation we started having, because when we looked at the data, it was like, we're not going to make it. So yeah, I mean, and it's harder for us in some ways because everyone says diversity, equity, and inclusion is important, but it's always the first to go. Although this round, it has not been the case across the board. So I'm really heartened to see that. But it's not like, again, you will not see an NAACP or a Pearl Deaf, the Latino Justice now, or the All Deaf, all these civil rights organizations, ACLU or so on. You're not going to see those organizations fall because they provide a critical component of that social justice system in our country for many of those communities, whether it's Asian, African-American, Black, or Hispanic, or Latino, Latinx. Whereas organizations like MCCA and probably some others out there that are providing really important work and service, they may be seen as not as essential or critical. When in reality, if you think about organizations like MCCA and the movement toward ESG by many of the largest asset managers in the world, starting with BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, the S part, the social part of the ESG strategy, which many of those investors are demanding, it is a critical component. It is what MCCA can do. So again, going back to your question earlier about infrastructure and being creative, this is where I think people need to really tap into their creativity and talk to people, right? Because you can only read so much on the internet. And I feel that for me, I think there's just so much information to sift through. The easiest kind of quick way is to talk to leaders in different sectors. And that's exactly what I did to learn about where can MCCA have greater impact? Where can we think about how to leverage our work in the corporate environment so that it becomes an important work and not just a nice to have. And that's where we started thinking about the importance of G strategies within corporations. And it's been around for 10 plus years. And they started talking about at the World Economic Forum, at the UN level, et cetera, you know, over a decade ago. And in the last 5 years, it's come like something that asset managers are looking for when they evaluate a corporation, whether to invest or not. And again, the BlackRock CEO's letter to other CEOs was incredibly telling as to how important it is. And the S part deals with diversity, inclusion, and equity because it's about stakeholder engagement. So again, I think that idea of diversification doesn't have to be, okay, well, we only do this part. We can't really diversify. You absolutely can. We didn't think that either. But then when we started thinking about that a couple of years ago, we realized like there are opportunities within opportunities. How you tackle that, of course, is the challenge.
So Jean, your responses have been so incredibly full. And I really think that we need to talk again about this, just to really talk through that DEI piece, because I really would love to get more of your thoughts on thoughtful approaches and practices that we're seeing in this sector. So definitely, I think there should be a part two to this conversation. But I want to ask you a question to help us continue to build knowledge through books and people we should learn from or about to close us out. What do you think we should read next? Or what artists do you think we should be paying attention to?
I won't say an artist only because I don't know much about pop culture. That's probably where, as you go into crisis mode, you pay less attention to. Although I know some people have listened to music a lot more because of the crisis. I'm on the opposite spectrum. But I'll say this one thing. I just started, and I can only do it in segments, sadly, but I would recommend reading Michelle Obama's Becoming. It is really, truly about her personal story. And once again, it may give you some ideas about connecting with people. I'm only halfway through. As I said, I watch it in segments. And I'm now more eager than ever to read her book, which I've had, by the way, when it came out, because I get all these lovely books as gifts. But being on the road 80% of the time in my job, I've just not had the time to read a book, because whatever time I have in the air, I'm feverishly trying to catch up on an email. So I would say read Michelle Obama's book. It is truly so inspirational. As a woman of color, as a first generation immigrant, so many of it just spoke to me, and just what it means to be truly authentic for any woman, for anyone, a man or a woman. Actually, I told my brother to read it. So yeah, I would say if you want to be inspired, if you want to find that sort of inner strength or grit, as they say, read her book.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It should definitely be your next reading list if you haven't read it already. You have shared such knowledge and insights that I think that leaders, after hearing this conversation, can actually put into use in their own organizations to help them build bravely. So I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure and an honor, and so nice speaking with you, Nicole.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Nonprofit Buildup. To access the show notes, additional resources, and information on how you can work with us, please visit our website at buildupadvisory.com. We invite you to listen again next week as we share another episode about scaling impact by building infrastructure and capacity in the nonprofit sector. Keep building bravely.